This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com.
Welcome to the latest edition of Red Leg Nation Radio. I'm your host for today, Bill Lack, and we're really happy to be joined by a good friend of Red Leg Nation, the starting catcher of the Cincinnati Reds, Mr. Devin Mesoraco. Devin, welcome back, and thanks for coming on and sharing your time with us this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff.
First, we want to take the time to congratulate Devin on his recent engagement. Have you set a date yet?
Yeah, November 15th of this year, so coming pretty quick.
So hopefully that's right after you put a world championship up over the stadium down there, right?
Right, we made sure to hold off until after the World Series.
There you go. So I'm sure that you and Kira will be very happy. Is she going to be spending much time in Cincinnati this year?
Yeah, she'll be in Cincinnati the whole year. She's looking for a job here. So
good for her. Good for her. Seems fitting that we talked to you a few days after Groundhog Day, being as you're from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, if I remember right, last time we talked, and you do a lot of hunting in the winter. Weren't you a hunter?
Yeah, quite a bit. I have some acreage back home where I, you know, do some deer hunting, turkey hunting, just to, pass the time a little bit.
You haven't gotten into that lion hunting like Homer does?
No lions yet. No, maybe I'm working my way up towards that. I don't know.
You're not hunting anything that can eat. You're not hunting anything that can eat you yet, right?
Oh no, I don't think. I know if I had some bear around back home, but one of them was actually on our porch. Ate some of our garbage, but you know I don't think they're too interested in humans.
That's good. Well, let's talk a little baseball. Let's talk about your personal 2013, Devin. Were you happy with the way you played personally last year?
I'd say I was happier. I think that, you know, it was an improvement upon my 2012 season. So, you know, for me, I'm always looking to improve, whether it's offense, defensively. You know, I think my biggest jump last year was defensively as far as managing the game and, you know, blocking balls, things like that. I feel like I made a lot of I got better as the year progressed, but still feel like there's room to grow there. And offensively, you know, I think I did some good things at times. I just wasn't as, you know, consistent as what I feel like that I should be, and I wasn't quite up to what I was hoping for. But, you know, I definitely improved, and I was happy with that.
Offensively, Devin, what do you think is the biggest thing you need to work on? Is it consistency, or is it hitting a little bit better job hitting right-handed pitching, or just a little bit of everything?
Well, for me, I think, you know, if I can get my swing consistent and you know, kind of get to a consistent place in my swing, I feel like the at-bats will really, you know, start to improve in all phases. You know, I haven't done a whole lot against hitting right-handers, but, you know, for me, I've been working on my swing so much, and that's been my focus as opposed to, you know, trying to make huge, huge adjustments. I feel like I need to feel comfortable with where I'm at before I really start worrying about, you know, any of the other pitchers. But, you know, at this point, I feel like I'm starting to, you know, get in a better position and everything when I hit. So, you know, in spring training here, I'm sure that we will start to work on some other things as far as, you know, trying to see what I can do against right-handers, hitting off the breaking ball machine and stuff like that. So that will, you know, that's the time will come for that, but I feel like I'm in a good place right now.
You've really, really, both years, your first two big, you know, full years, you've really hit the ball real well off left-handers. Do you see the ball really, really well off left-handers? Or is it, you know?
I always feel confident going against a left-hander. You know, for the most part, they're going to work, you know, out over the plate and everything like that. And I think I'm more comfortable hitting that, especially from a right or from a left-hander. So, you know, I always am confident and more comfortable going in against them. I wouldn't say I see the ball better or anything like that, but I just, I have a better feeling, I guess, whenever I go to the plate against them.
Your best month of the season was July when you hit 294 and got on at a 329 pace and your slugging was 441. And it was also the month that you had the most plate appearances. Do you think that's a coincidence, or do you think the more you play, the better you're going to play?
Well, I think July there, you know, Hendon, right after the All-Star break, he went on the disabled list. And,
yeah.
You know, at that point, I was, you know, pretty much given the job. Hey, you're going to play every day, you know, go out there and see what you can do. And I felt comfortable. I felt like, you know, everybody knew that I could do the job. There was a lot of confidence coming from myself and from, you know, the other guys and people in the organization. So, you know, I didn't have to worry about going out there one day and not giving them, you know, not producing, and then having to sit a couple days and be able to. I get a group there, and I felt like, you know, this is my job. I can go out there, I can play every day. If I go over four, I'm going to still play the next day. And that, you know, that's a pretty good feeling to have, and it gives breeds confidence. And I think that, you know, I started to play more, and I started to play better and better. I think it definitely makes sense.
I was looking at some of your splits, and I thought there was some interesting things there, and I don't even know if you're aware of these. Do you know in the games that you played that the Reds won, you hit 294, and in the games that you played in that they lost, you hit 168, and that all nine home runs that you hit, the Reds won?
Yeah, just gotta hit a home run.
So if you hit a home run, it's an automatic winner, man.
Yeah, just stop the game right there.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I thought it was very funny when I saw it. The other thing that I noticed in your splits, and this is also something that it's kind of strange, is when you swung at the first pitch, you had 131 plate appearances. You swung at the first pitch, you hit 194. When you took the first pitch, when that was 221 plate appearances, you hit 266.
I did know that.
Did you?
I knew that. You know, I did. Maybe a little bit of research at the end of the year there, and I saw that, and I went back and watched all the video of the swings at the first pitch, because, you know, seems pretty low to me. I've always been aggressive on that first pitch, looking for a good pitch hit, and, you know, I look back, and there might have been, I don't even know how many bats it was, maybe 40 or so, I think, that I swung at the first pitch and put it in play, and, you know, watching all of the bats, I feel like I lined out 10 or 15 times, to be honest with you. There were balls that I hit hard that were just right at people, and that's kind of, at least that's what I'm going to blame it on, hitting 194 on the first pitch. Because I've always been good at hitting on the first pitch. So I'm going to blame it on hit a lot of line drive that guy.
A little bad luck.
Okay.
You talked about doing
that. Yep.
You talked about doing video work. Do you do much video work during the season, or do you do most of your video work in the off season, or what do you look for when you do the video work?
Well, before every series starts, we get a scouting report and everything, but I like to look at everything for myself and just kind of see what guys' swings look like. You know, this is more so for calling the game and defense,
right.
That's usually the first thing that I do when a series starts is go in, watch all the hitters, kind of review the scouting report, and just kind of, make sure I know exactly what's going on and what those guys are trying to do at the plate. And offensively, you know, I think I'll watch video more so whenever I'm going bad, try to get it right. And, you know, whenever I'm going good, I try to stay out of there so I don't really confuse myself even more. I just try to look at it when it's going bad, see what, and then I watch the video of when I'm doing good, just
right.
to try to
yep.
reinform, exactly the, what I want to be seeing. So, it, I do quite a bit of video work, I'd say on average, I don't know, 40 minutes, an hour a day probably.
You've talked a little bit about your defense, and let's talk a little bit more about that, because there's been so much talk about your defense over the offseason and how your game calling improved last year. What do you think are your main strengths defensively, and what do you think most you improved with last year?
Well, I think the biggest thing last year, was probably my receiving and my block. Blocking-wise, I didn't allow too many wild pitches, and we had some guys that threw the ball in the dirt with Latos and Singerine threw in the dirt every now and then. Fleek, not quite as much. But, I did a good job catching those guys, keeping the ball from getting past.
Yeah, you did. The thing I noticed, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You caught 360 more innings last year, and you only had one more wild pitch on you than you did in 2012.
Right, yeah. That was a big improvement from then. Matt is definitely one of the tougher guys to catch because, he's got such a good slider, he's got such good downward movement that it's inevitable it's going to be in the dirt quite a bit of the time. So that was good to see. And, receiving-wise, I feel like things got a lot more calmer for me behind the plate. I think that I got more strikes for the pitchers than what I have in the past. Not sure exactly what the numbers show on that, but, in my mind, I was a lot better receiving, a lot calmer. And I think those two things show. Throwing-wise, throughout the year, I got a little better and better, but I still feel like there's room to grow there. As far as calling the game behind the plate, I feel like it was almost night and day from the year before. Just having an idea, knowing how to execute, noticing tendencies of opposing hitters, and noticing when they're changing those tendencies. So it was definitely a good year for me defensively.
Some of it sounds like, where you're talking about your improvements, some of it sounds like a maturing process. But you also had, you had a guy that's a pretty darn good defensive catcher that you were playing with too, Ryan Hannigan. What did you learn from playing with Ryan Hannigan?
Me and him, we talked a lot going into the game just about, what's this guy doing right now. And I think the biggest thing that I took from him was just, good hitters are going to change. Good hitters are going to see what you're trying to attack and change off of that. They're going to know what you're trying to do. So you really have to watch those guys, and you have to watch when they are making adjustments, because, with good hitters like that, the scouting report isn't always right. So you have to see what they're doing and make some changes with off what they are doing.
You talked about your throwing improved last year, and like I said earlier, you caught 360 more innings, and there were only six more stolen bases on you. Your caught stealing percentage climbed by 9%, and you were one above league average last year. And you think you can still continue to improve there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that my arm has always been pretty strong, and last year it wasn't quite as strong as what I've been used to in the past. So, this offseason, I've really been committed to improving my mechanics, just making everything a little bit quicker, a little bit more efficient. And, I think it's really going to show. I think it's really going to help. It's really going to help improve my throws. Percentage-wise, it's definitely tough because, then guys could get a crazy good jump and you have no chance. But
yeah.
I need to throw out the guys that I should be throwing out. And I feel like last year I did a better job of that towards the end, but at the beginning of the year I left a lot of guys that I should have been throwing out get to base. So, I think this year it's going to be definitely improved.
Well, you also, it's also, the catcher sometimes gets the blame, but sometimes they steal the base on the pitcher. You're lucky. Last year not so much, but the year before you had Johnny Cueto who holds guys. He's got a good pickoff move, holds guys really close. And nobody that – none of your starters, if I don't think, are real slow to the plate, are they?
Well, I think everybody's definitely been a lot more aware of it with Brian. You know, he's been preaching that to the guys, and they've definitely gotten better and better. And I think at this point, you know, everybody holds the runners pretty well, you know. So going forward, I think that that's only going to help that percentage climb.
How important is pitch framing, Devin?
I think it's definitely, you know, a pretty important thing. You know, people, pitch framing, it's definitely tough to trick an umpire. You know, they're definitely pretty good, but the biggest thing is you want to present the pitch in the best way possible and not drag it out of the zone or let the ball pull you in a direction where they don't want to go. You know, so that's really my biggest thing, is just to present it in the best way possible, whether it's that low pitch, you need to get underneath it, or, you know, let a high pitch travel, things like that. Those are things that can always be worked on and improved, I think.
You mentioned umpires. I have to ask you this question. Are there certain umpires that talk to you a lot during the game, and other umpires that are just all business, and, you know, they don't have conversations or anything? Or are they all, is there generally pretty much give and take through the course of a ball game?
Oh, it depends. You know, they all have a different personality. I think some of the guys want to talk, or, you know, sometimes talk too much. You know, I just try to go back there, and, you know, I'm focused on doing my job first and foremost. And, you know, there's also those guys back there that, you know, are just fun to be back there, because, you know, they've been around the game for so long, and they, you know, it's just more enjoyable when the umpire is back there having fun, as opposed to, you know, just kind of going through the motions or stuff like that. So, you know, I do enjoy talking with them, and it's a, you know, mostly a fun relationship, I would say.
Could you pick an umpire that you say is probably the best home plate umpire that you've seen? Or a few?
I wouldn't be able to pick, you know, one out of that. But, you know, to me, the only guys that really stand out are the ones that aren't so good. You know, I think that the guys that are back there, and there's a lot more of them that are super good. It just, you know, do a good job, treat with respect, call balls, and strike, no matter who's hitting or who's pitching. So, the guys that are good stands out a little bit more to me, as opposed to the guys that are good. And, you know, there's a whole lot of them. It'd be tough for me to pick one out.
And you wouldn't want to do that anyway, because they might listen to this. Let me ask you, though, you talk about the ones that you don't think are real good. Is it that they don't know the zone, or is it they're inconsistent?
I would say that they're just inconsistent. And, you know, there's a little bit of both. Sometimes, you know, there'll be certain umpires that like to call the low pitch, or, you know, if a catcher steps up 2 inches outside and the guy hits his glove, they'll call that a strike, even though it's not a strike. You know, but like I said, for the most part, those guys all do a good job. And they, you know, if the catcher sets up outside and it hits his glove, they usually call it a ball. It's just there's cases where, you know, you get an umpire where he likes to stretch his zone a little bit. You know, those are tough ones.
Do you guys, is that part of the scouting report, is who the umpire is and what kind of strike zone he may have?
Yeah, you can definitely get that. You know, we can get pretty much every stat imaginable, and they have heat charts that, you know, this guy likes to call the low outside pitch just a little bit more than what league average is, I guess, or this guy's a little bit tighter than league average. And,
okay.
You know, we can look at all that before the game and everything.
Okay. Defensively, what is the biggest thing you think you still need to improve on?
Well, I think throws. You know, I think that I need to become more accurate, more consistent with my throws. As far as, you know, every single day, no matter where the pitch is at, everything needs to be working the same. I need to be accurate on almost all pitches and all my throws. So, you know, throwing is something that I work on, but, you know, at the same time, I'm not going to completely put my focus on that. I still am focused on improving my receiver and focused on improving my blocking, which, you know, all that can still be improved. So, but my main focus this offseason has really been on the throw.
When you get out to Goodyear, I assume Johnny Bench shows up there periodically. Do you pick his brain, or does he come over and talk to you about catching, or is that kind of intimidating? I mean, because it's Johnny Bench, or?
Yeah, Johnny comes to spring training. You know, he comes at least once a year, most of the time a couple times, and to be honest, we talk more about hitting than we have about catching. I think, catching-wise, we talk about breaking in the glove and things like that, but nothing too super technical. Hitting-wise, you know, he probably gives me more tips on that side than the catching-wise.
Okay. Devin, Dusty pretty much assigned certain catchers to certain pitchers. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't like that. I think that it was such a, you know, for me, I want to be able to catch everybody, and I believe that I can work with everybody, you know, no matter what the circumstances are. And it kind of came into play last year whenever Ryan was hurt, and I hadn't caught Johnny Cueto all year, but I had to go out there and catch him. You know, it's definitely a lot tougher if you're not accustomed to working with somebody and you kind of get thrown into the fire. That makes the relationship a whole lot tougher. So, you know, for me, I believe, you know, you set up your lineup based on what makes most sense offensively, you know, for the team. Yeah. If I hit left-handers real good and we have, you know, now that we have Brian, if they have a good right-hander on the mound that he would hit better, it would make sense to go with him. That way the catchers are interchangeable and, you know, everybody can work with everybody. And I think that would really eliminate any of that problem if you would have if you do get injured, you know, then your backup hasn't caught any of these guys for 4 months. You know, that makes it tough on them and that makes it tough on the pitcher. So, for me, I'm hoping that, you know, it's more of a everybody catch everybody situation, no more personal catcher deal.
Let's talk about the team stuff from last year, Devin. The team kind of they lost the last six games last year, last five of the regular season, then the game in Pittsburgh. And from a fan's perspective, Dusty always gave the impression that no game meant any more than any other game, and he was managing for the long haul. And the fans felt like the team didn't have any sense of urgency to win late in the season. Is that a fair judgment by the fans, do you think?
I think that's a tough one. We definitely didn't play the way that we expected to play. And, you know, we had a series against the Mets where we didn't do anything, and then a series against the Pirates where we got swept. But, you know, my feeling was in that locker room, everybody was 100% committed to winning on that certain day. It just it didn't quite go the way that we expected it to. So, I understand, you know, where the fans are coming from, where, you know, you could sense a little bit more urgency, and I think that this upcoming year you'll see that with Brian. You know, he's going to get on. He's going to make us play every day like it's our last. He's a fire guy, and he'll make sure to know that hey, we need to show up every single day.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about Brian Price here in a minute, but before we get to that, were you surprised at the firing of Dusty Baker?
Well, a little bit, yeah. I think I knew that it was definitely a chance the way that we finished up the year there. We didn't do anybody any favors with losing six straight there at the end, especially, you know, the Pirates, one of our division rivals, which was tough. So I'd say it was a kind of a surprise, not a super huge surprise, but, you know, say my surprise, I guess.
It's funny because I talked to Chris Welsh. We did an interview with Chris Welsh last week, and he said he was not at all surprised because he felt all year long that if you guys didn't go deep into the playoffs, you know, that Dusty was going to be let go. And that kind of didn't make any sense to me because they just signed him to a 2-year deal.
Right. You know. Right. Yeah, they did this offseason right before. So, yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But.
Let me ask you. You mentioned losing to the Pirates, which you know none of us like. But there last year, there was quite a bit of bad blood between the Reds and the Pirates. Does that kind of stuff carry over too much from one season to the next?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you know, for whatever reason, it just seemed to go on and on and on. We would hit one of their guys. They would hit one of our guys. We would hit another one of their guys. They would hit another one. You know,
yeah, there was a lot of that going on last year.
It was just, you know, it was almost stupid to the point. You know, it just got, and the thing that, you know, kind of rubbed me the wrong way, you know, I think everybody gets along with those guys. You know, everybody gets along with, you know, Cutch and Neil Walker. Those guys are great guys. So it just, it didn't seem right, and then they had guys that come up in September, and they started hitting our guys, which, you know, those guys didn't play during the year at all. You know, they may have a couple guys come in at the end of the year, they hit Brandon one time, and it just, you know, it got to be a little bit too crazy. I think that, you know, I'm more for the old school type thing. You hit one of our guys, we're going to hit one, and then it's over with, you know? Yeah. And it just seemed to go on and on and on, and it just got stupid there.
Okay, let's get back to the ball club here for a minute. We talked to, you know, Dusty's fired. Was Brian Price the obvious choice to you?
Yeah, I think that you know, the second that I heard that Dusty was fired, I said, man, I sure hope they hired Bob. And you know, they waited just a couple days longer, and they went ahead with it. And I think that was the best possible move for the team. And, you know, I think everybody's looking forward to getting down there and seeing Brian in his new role.
I assume as a catcher, of the position players, you've probably had more interaction with him than anybody. Can you give us as fans an idea of what we can expect from a Brian Price team?
Yeah, I think, you know, I work with Brian every day. I sat beside him between every inning on the bench, and he's just there. You know, I say he's fiery, but I wouldn't exactly call him a fiery guy. He's kind of a kind of cool, somebody you can talk to during the game, somebody that doesn't really let his emotions get the best of him, but he's somebody that you don't want to let down. He's a guy that you really he has your back. And you know that he's doing everything for the best interest of the team that he possibly can. And that's, you know, a good feeling to have as a pitching coach. But, you know, as a manager, I think it's going to be even better.
A lot of the pitchers have talked about him, and the word today, a lot of them use is accountability. Does that sound logical to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, you know, he's not gonna scream and yell and get everybody fired up. That he's going to do his job to the absolute best that he can, and he expects you to do the same. And you know, I think as a manager, it's going to be work out perfectly. He's going to, you know, it's going to be a seamless transition for him to, you know, people talk about how he hasn't really interacted with the position player, but you know, he really has. Everybody has talked with Brian, you know, messed around with Brian, just had fun with him, because you know he can relate to everybody, and it should be a good situation.
Were you surprised at any of the coaches that either stayed or didn't stay? Were you surprised at any of the coaching moves?
Not really, I guess. I think that I'm not exactly sure what, you know, everybody is doing in their situation. So every guy's situation is different.
Yep.
He wanted to go spend time with his family, or anything like that. You know, we had a lot of good guys on the staff, and I think that, you know, we wish him well, especially Bear, Mark Perry. He was a favorite of everybody, and see what he went through last year and everything, and
yeah.
See him come back, that was definitely awesome. So I think he'll be super missed. You know, hopefully he stays in the organization. I saw that they were trying to do something to keep him in the organization, and that'd be awesome. So, you know, I can't say because I don't really know everybody's situation.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, that's fair. Have you met any of the new coaches yet?
Yeah, at Red Fest, and I've spoken on the phone with Don Long, the new hitting coach, and, you know, met all the other guys at Red Fest, and everybody seemed good. You know, it should be. For a while there, you know, we've been with the same coaching staff for so long that it'll be fun to kind of hear a different voice to develop those new relationships. I think it'll be a good thing, really, as players trying to kick us in the butt a little bit to conform to their way.
Fairly or unfairly, when the team struggled offensively, Brooks Jacoby was at least the fans' favorite whipping boy, and everything was Brooks Jacoby's fault. What can Don Long bring to this team that might make them more consistent offensively, or may take, you know, some of you young guys, you and Frazier and Kozar, and take you to the next level, you know, up your game offensively a notch? What can he bring to the team?
Right. I think the biggest thing is, you know, with us young guys that haven't been in the league for so long, it's just kind of, you know, you're trying to find your way, you're trying to find your approach and everything like that at the plate. And I think it'll be good to hear from Don and go, just go into spring training with a different type of mentality, I guess, at the plate. It should be definitely interesting to, you know, I've spoken with him a couple times here in the off season, and I'm, really looking forward to diving in and getting some new information from him.
In the long term, you're the established number one catcher here now, and you know, I mean, you're still a young guy, and you're going into your third year. But in the long term, Devin, where do you see yourself as a hitter? Do you see yourself as a four guy, a five guy, a six guy?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I feel like that is the way that I hit in the past, whether it was a minor league or, you know, times like that. I've hit with some power, hit with some pretty good averages. So, you know, I feel like I'm a, like you said, 5-6 type hitter. And it's definitely a lot different when you're hitting, you go from 5-6 in the minor league, you come up and you're hitting 8 in the National League. You know, it's definitely a different animal.
With Ryan gone to Tampa now, and you know, nobody wishes him more good luck, I don't think, probably than you. You're the number one guy here now. Does this change your role on the team?
I think so, a little bit. You know, the biggest thing that I think that will change for me is just kind of my role with the pitching staff. In the past, you know, he had been more of a leader type guy where he, you know, would talk to guys. And so I wasn't going to go out of my way to step on his toes because, you know, it was kind of his team. He was here before me. He worked with all these guys a whole lot more. So I wasn't going to speak up and say, hey, you need to be doing this instead of this if I disagree with him, which we really didn't disagree a whole lot. We were
right.
Pretty much on the same page.
Sure.
But I think that for going forward, it'll be nice if I can take more of that role on where, hey, you know, you need to be throwing more sliders to talk to this guy, or, man, you really got to start attacking this guy more. You know, I think that I'll be able to take on that role a little bit more as far as being the guy that the pitchers come talk to whenever, you know, they have any questions or concerns.
So what you're saying is you really feel like you're going to take on a bigger leadership role in as a catcher, you know, with the pitching staff.
Especially with the pitching staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty important in me being, you know, the everyday guy, if I'm behind the plate, everyday guy. They need to hear certain things from me, whether, you know, it's about their repertoire, what they need to be doing to get this certain guy out. So, yeah, I think that the leadership of the pitching staff will be pretty important.
Any idea on what kind of split you're probably looking at? I mean, you looking at a 4-3 or a 5-2, and you know, or will that kind of pan out over the course of spring training?
I'm sure that will pan out, you know, spring training and even into the year. You know, if I'm playing well, I'm sure that they're going to want to run me out there as much as possible. And if I'm not producing as well, I'm sure that I will get spelled more so. So, you know, I think a lot of that dictates on the way that, you know, I'm playing.
Physically, Devin, how many days a week can you catch and still feel like you've got your legs in September?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think I can catch every single day. You know, I train all off season for the season, train during the season. You know, if I had to catch 3 weeks straight, you know, 7 days a week, I think I would be fine. And at the end of the year, you know, I think everybody's a little bit tired, a little bit banged up, but a lot of that is just being mentally strong and going through all the aches and pains and just going out there and showing up ready to play every day. And I think at this point, you know, there's no reason why I can't catch 130, 140 a day. I don't think I would have any problem. You know, I'm still only 25 years old, so I think I'll be all right.
That's what I was just going to say. Plus, you're 25 years old and you don't know any better.
Right.
Devin, this team lost two pretty good players. You know, you lost Chu, and you're hearing today that Bronson's talking to the Dodgers, just what the Dodgers need, another good pitcher. And they didn't really add anybody that at least that we hope doesn't have to play very much, because if some of these newer guys are playing much, that means somebody's hurt or not doing what we expected them to do. What would you say to the fans that are skeptical about the team's ability to compete with the Cardinals and the Pirates and a Brewers team that looks like they're going to be better this year?
Well, I think first and foremost is, you know, we're going to be able to pitch, and that's going to keep us in a lot of games. You look at our starting five, and, you know, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any better starting five out there in baseball. And you look at our bullpen, and you see the guys, the year that some of those guys put together out there with Sammy and J.J. Hoover. Those guys really threw the ball well all year. And then you see that, you know, Broxton really wasn't himself all year. Marshall wasn't himself all year. And then obviously, you know, we got big guy in the back, Chapman, who pitched extremely well. So we're going to be able to pitch. That's not going to be a problem. And offensively, you know, I think the biggest improvements that you will see the upcoming years from the next, you know, me and Todd and Zach can kind of take the next step forward and become, you know, proven everyday players, consistent, produce on a consistent basis. I think that, you know, that's really going to help. We didn't have Luddy all last year until the end there, so, you know, I think it. Anything that he can do is going to be, you know, good improvement. But I think the biggest step forward is going to be from us three, you know, me, Zach, and Todd. There's going to be, you know, it's our third year now. We should have a pretty good idea of what we're doing at this point, and I think we'll all be able to go up there and produce on a consistent basis.
You mentioned the bullpen, and I couldn't agree with you more. But in fact, it may look like, you know, somebody like Logan Andrusik may be an odd man out in the bullpen. We may have too many good pitchers.
Right? Yeah, it's you know, it's crazy down there. We got a lot of good live arms that you know, it's definitely tough to work your way into that situation.
Devin, do you think Hoover could be a closer?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's got the stuff. He's got the mentality where he just goes out there and attacks guys. You know, for me, being a closer, if you can get guys out in the seventh, eighth inning, you can get them out in the ninth. And, you know, Hoover has the stuff to really be a closer, I think. But, you know, the guy that I would be 100% happy handing the ball to Sam, look here, whenever he comes in as a closer. he's got enough weapons where he can go attack lefties and righties either way. So it's you know, that you got to be able to get guys out. Maneuver, get them out with his stuff. Dan's a guy that can get them out with, you know, his control and his difference in pitches, you know, with his curveball and everything. So I think we have a bunch of guys that would be capable of doing the job if anything ever happened, God forbid, to Chappie.
One of the things that Brian Price has talked about in the offseason is it sounds like the bullpen is going to get a little bit of different use than it did under Dusty's. And I don't know if he's going to change roles, but he's talked about Chapman pitching, you know, having more than, you know, pitching more than one inning saves. You wonder whether they're going to use, you know, Chapman earlier in a ball game when a game might seem to be on the line. You know, he talked about, and Chris Welsh didn't feel like Brian Price would be as much of a matchup guy, you know, a lefty against a lefty, and, you know, maybe pitching guys more than one batter or something like that. Do you get any feeling on that?
Yeah, I read a couple things on that. You know, I think it'll be an interesting thing. It's you obviously want to get Chappie out there as much as possible just because of, you know, what he brings to the team. But it's it'll be interesting to see how he can work them into those situations. You know, he's such a horse that he can pitch two innings and come back and probably pitch the next day. But you don't want to completely wear him out where he gets too tired. So we'll see how that situation progresses. I can't speak to what Brian has planned.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. And I wouldn't want to put you in that position.
I think it's definitely the more you bring in Chappie, the happier I'm going to be, that's for sure.
Okay. You know, one of the good things about being the catcher for the Cincinnati Reds is you don't have to try to throw out Billy Hamilton.
Right. I'm one for one throwing Billy out in the futures game. So I'm throwing him out 100%.
Oh, did you get him in the futures game? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he overslid the base, and those are tagged him out. So it's kind of technicality, but hey,
that's what, one for one. That's what it looks in the stat book. What do you think are reasonable expectations for Billy for his first year?
After seeing Billy in spring training and seeing him in September, I thought there was, you know, a lot of improvement. He looked good in September as far as putting the ball in play, knowing when to be aggressive at the plate, knowing when to, you know, try to take a walk. It was pretty cool to see. I think, you know, it's hard to put a number on you know, what I think he's going to hit, but you know, for me, to be honest, if he can just stay above water, hit wise, you know, the speed that he brings on the base class is really going to show up. The defense that he'll bring in center field with all that speed is really going to show up. So it'll be, it'll be interesting to see how that situation shakes out. But I think Billy's more than capable at this point to go out there and be a great defensive center fielder, be a good, consistent threat on the bases. He just needs to work on getting on base, and, you know, everybody's going to drive him in. So it'll be fun to play with him, I think, just because of that dynamic speed that he brings to the table.
I had a friend of mine that said that Brian ought to treat him like Willie Mae Hayes in Major League, and every time he hits the ball in the air, he's got to do 10 push-ups.
Yeah, I didn't see him pop out a whole lot. You know, he kept the ball on the ground, shot it the other way. He was it was definitely fun to watch and see the improvement that he made during September.
Yeah, because he keeps the ball on the ground, he can be a weapon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, the guy is and I think the thing about Billy is he's such a good kid and a hard worker. He listens to everybody and really, you know, works on improving his craft. So it'll be, no, I think he's definitely up to the challenge.
Well, Devin, I'm going to let you go here. So when are you heading out for Arizona?
I'm leaving Thursday. Yeah. I'll be getting into some warmer weather here pretty quick.
When you go out for spring training, do you fly out or do you drive out?
Fly out.
Do you?
It'll be way too long to drive out. I think it's almost 24 hours.
Is it that long? Wow. Well, anyway, as always, Devin, we really, really appreciate your time and good luck this season. And maybe we can catch up later this season and during a Devin Mesoraco-led Reds winning streak.
Sounds good, Devin. Thanks for having me.